I want to start out this morning with a true and false, a way to get to know your neighbor. As you give them your answer, they will give you theirs, and it'll be great. You guys will interact. But you ready to go? Okay. True or false? I'm looking for it. Here we go. You can't buy happiness. True or false? You can't buy happiness. If you don't know who's sitting next to you, introduce yourself. Talk about it. True or false? Okay, how many say true? You can't buy happiness. How many say false? How many don't like to play these games because you just don't know where I'm going? Okay, that's me. I don't know where I'm going. Actually, there's some recent research that would demonstrate the fact that if you don't think that your money can buy you happiness, you're doing it wrong. It goes like this. If your money is not making you happy, you're doing something wrong. You say, well, how can that possibly be true? It boils down to this, and we should get this. Because we are followers of Christ. We are people who are being transformed to be like our Heavenly Father. And there's no one more generous than our Heavenly Father. Right? What happens when you're generous with your money? Makes you happy. In the end, what they demonstrated and proved again and again, whether it's in Ethiopia or the United States or that foreign land of Canada or wherever you're from, cultural differences really don't matter. The bottom line is people that are givers with their money are happy, and people that aren't are not. So if you're not happy with the way that you're handling your money, you can be, and that's what our series is going to be about. We're going to do for the next 12 weeks a series called Give, and it's talking about undeniable generosity. That is, I think, the characteristic trait of anybody that's a follower of Jesus, that you are just undeniably generous. Now, today's message is what if, which I think is just a really good place to start. What if the things we talk about today are true? That's a great question, because if they're true, what does it imply? We may need to make some adjustments. We may need to make some changes. If the things that we're going to talk about today that are in Scripture are true, it's going to change how we live our life. Jesus, if he came to do nothing else, he came to create a culture of generosity. And so we're going to pray about it. We're going to jump in. For the next 12 weeks, I want you to buckle up. There's going to be a lot of fun along the way, but it's going to be life-changing stuff. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you right now that you are a good God when things are hard, and you are a good God when things are not hard, when things are going well. The bottom line is you don't change. Our circumstances go up and down and sideways, and right now, those in Texas are feeling the brunt of just some horrible natural disaster. But Lord God, you're still good in all of this, and you want to show your goodness to them and to us. And as we study your word together over the next 12 weeks, I pray that you would help us to see you for who you really are, and that our hearts would be pierced, that we would want to be more like you. Lord God, you are the one that made life as we know it, and you're the one that knows how to direct it. So we submit ourselves to your leadership. Show us how to be the people that are called by your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we need to jump right in. What if? The first what if is this. What if Jesus is right? You say, well, of course Jesus is right. Well, let me quote him here. Paul says, and it's interesting, this is Paul. This is not one of the disciples that walked with Jesus. So Jesus either said this to him when he appeared to him that day on the road to Emmaus or to Damascus, or the disciples just talked about this so much that Paul knew this is something that Jesus said. But this is what Paul says. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you heard that growing up? You didn't have Christian parents, but it's the one Bible verse they knew, right? And when you're a little kid, you're going, no, I don't think so. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, part of what messed it up is what they said next. Well, if you'll share with your buddy, if you'll share with your friend, if you'll give something to this other person, you will feel better. Is blessing a feeling? No. When you are blessed by God, sure, I would give you that that'll generate some feelings in you, but the blessing is not the feeling. Blessing means you're on a right road, a good road that will lead you to a good place in your life. What our parents should have said to us was, if you give and not just take, your life will end up in a really good place. And I love you enough to help you learn to do that. Now, the bottom line is, it's hard for a little kid to get that, but they want a good life. We all want a good life. You are more blessed if you give than if you receive. The thing that Jesus is kind of playing with is everybody thinks that blessing is when we receive stuff. We're being blessed. But he said, no, you're actually more blessed when you give. Psalm 37, the righteous person is what? Generous and does what? Gives. So this culture that Jesus is creating is a culture of righteousness. And it's marked by our giving spirit, our generosity. Your culture is defined by what you believe and what you do based on what you believe. So today that's kind of what we're messing with. We're messing with our belief system that might actually mess with how we live our life, the things that we do. The righteous are generous and they give. 2 Corinthians 9:11, that whole paragraph that's around this verse is really worth studying. We just don't have time for every verse on generosity. Our study on generosity to make a point is this. For 2 weeks, we're going to look at the verses in the Bible about generosity, and most of them have to do with money, taking care of the poor, and the things that you would expect. But then we are going to study the book of Colossians, which never uses the word generosity. And we're going to see that how everything that God teaches us is built on a foundation and understanding of generosity. So we're going to study generosity as it relates to the book of Colossians. It should be fun. But again, for these first 2 weeks, we'll talk about the verses, which mostly talk about finances and wealth and possessions and all that. But after 2 weeks, think about it. There's a lot of other ways that generosity is demonstrated. It's not just through your possessions. But the same principles that are at work with how you are generous with your resources are also true with how you're generous with your time, how you're generous with your emotional energy, how you're generous with your wisdom, how you're generous with your prayer, and a whole bunch of other things that we'll talk about. So, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. And again, this passage, much larger passage, a lot of good stuff in it, but this one point really stood out to me. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. So God is enriching you so that you can enrich others. He is blessing you so that you will bless others. So to make this practical and tangible, we're going to start with this. I want to enrich somebody by $50. This is my own money. This is not, I'm not dipping into the worship fund. John's going, don't be spending my money. No. This would not be generosity if it wasn't mine. So I want to give somebody $50. Who wants it? Okay, I saw you first. Come on. Yes, yes. Chrissy Young is, yeah, she's on The Price is Right. So I am going to enrich Chrissy by $50 so she can enrich somebody else. So this is your assignment. You take, just to verify, that is a real $50, right? Okay, real $50, real American currency. This week, your assignment is to go and to find a way to bless somebody else very generously with money that was specifically given to you so that you can be generous, right? You can do that. And then next week, like during Real Stories or sometime, you need to let us know how it went.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chrissy. Now, how many feel bad that you got left out? Okay, let me do this. I want you right now to reach into your pocket and get your wallet or your purse and pull it out and put it in your lap. Get your wallet and your purse. Don't be looking at me, just do it. Get your wallet or your purse. I'm going to want you to give $50 to the person sitting next to you. I'm just kidding. But wouldn't that be a blessing? Okay, it would be. Okay, now, this may not work for everybody because you may not do this the way my wife does this. But my wife, in her purse at any given time, has a bazillion gift cards, right? And you may not keep them in your purse. They may be in your glove box in your car. They may be at home in a special place. I don't want to know the place. I'm just saying, if you don't have yours here with you right now, you play this at home later, okay? So how many have gift cards with you now in your possession? Okay, this is the deal. I want you to look for your gift cards. If you have one that's more than 6 months old, you don't need it. If you needed it, you would have spent it by now. So I want you to look through your purse while I'm talking. I have two left from this morning, and I'm going to let somebody pick whichever one they want. I have a Buca di Beppo Italian restaurant. And the reason these are left is because I have no idea how much is on them. I really don't know. So Buca di Beppo and AMC movie card. Okay, I'm sure there's at least one movie on there. I don't know. Might be two. I don't know. Okay. So who would like either one of these? Okay, I see that person right there. Right next to Chris. Okay, and somebody's hand over here. Who did I see over here? Okay, come on up. Come on up. Whoever gets here first gets to pick the first card. Okay, now, this is your assignment. With this card, take either one. Do you have a preference? She seems to not care. Okay, you're good? Okay. I want you to take those and enjoy them. Thank you. That's your assignment. All right. Let's give them a hand. So, who else has a card that you have had for at least 6 months that obviously you don't need that you'd be willing to give to somebody else right now? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, one right here. What do you got?
A Best Buy gift card that I have never used.
Okay, Best Buy. Who would like a Best Buy gift card? Oh, my word. Right back here. In the back. Hand up right. Could you just run it back to her? Right there. Be nice. Okay, who else has got one? Anybody? Okay, I got one right here. What do you got? Chipotle. Who would like a Chipotle card? All right, Steve Gittle right here. Yeah, keep it simple. Keep it close. Anybody else? One more chance. Anybody else? Back row where? Oh, back there. What do you got? Home Goods card. Right here. Janet, run back there. All right. All right. So was that not fun? So this is your assignment this week. You go home. If you keep your cards at home, look through. If there's any of them that you know you've had for a good while and you realize, I'm just not going to use this thing. You obviously don't need it. Give it to somebody else. You will make them very happy and you will bless them because God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, another thing that you can do, Samaritan's Purse, we mentioned it earlier. Several people have asked, you know, how can we help? We just, with the different organizations that are out there, we feel probably the strongest and the most favorable towards Samaritan's Purse, that they really, you know, the majority of what you're giving is going to where it needs to go and all of that. And these are reputable people. So if you would like to give, we just suggest you go online to SamaritanPurse.org and give there generously. If you would like to actually be a part of a project and a group of people that goes and actually physically, tangibly helps, we haven't planned anything yet, but if we have enough people to do it, we will do it, and we will do it through Samaritan's Purse, because they're saying they could have 1,000 people a day and still not stay on top of everything that needs to be done. So if you would like to be a part of something like that, that's a great way to be generous. Now, all of this is so that in the weeks to come, we're going to have some really fun, real stories, are we not? God at work because of our generosity, right? So as you do this, whether you came up forward right now, I mean, if you go home and you got a gift card and you give it away and you got a great story you want to tell next week, let's just, for the next 12 weeks, we're going to be talking about generosity, and generosity is no good to just talk about. Generosity is just something that we do. So I challenge you to open up your heart and mind to what God might do in you and through you over the next few weeks, and we'll see what happens. On November 5th, Sunday, November 5th, we're going to do a Celebrate Generosity Day. And we're going to spend a bulk of our worship time just kind of reliving some of these stories. And again, first service, second service, if there's some good stories from the other service, we might do some, you know, some cross-pollinization there and just talk about the cool things that God has done. But I guarantee you that when we open up our heart to be generous, it changes lives. And if you think about it, it's what built the early church. So let's just see what God will do over the next 12 weeks. So first, what if Jesus is right? Well, if Jesus is right and you're more blessed to give than receive, it's something to consider. Second, what if we were made to give? Think about it. You were designed. You were created by God. It was built into you to be a giving person. And you're going, well, prove it. Okay, the first person that was made. And for a moment, let's leave the names out. Let's leave the genders out. Let's just talk about what God was doing. God made a person, right? And what did he say? It's not good. Is it because that person wasn't good? No, that person was perfect, created by God. What was not good? That person was alone. So the one thing that we know that's true of that person was created to live their life in God. And that we are not created to live our life outside of God without having serious repercussions. But what happened? They blew it, and they got placed outside of God. Not just outside the garden, but outside of the intimate relationship they had with God. So, there was the first person, then there was the second person. What was the job of the second person? To help the first person. I would argue the job of the first person was to help the second person. What was bad was that person didn't have anybody to take care of, to be generous with. You say, I don't think you're making this up. Okay, let's go to 3 and 4. 3 and 4, two sons. I'm sure they had a lot of fun playing together as kids, but along the way, there was a disagreement. Along the way, one of them kills the other one. This is what it says. Genesis 4:9. Then the Lord came to Cain. Where is Abel, your brother? God never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer. Where's your brother? I don't know. And then the big question. Am I my brother's keeper? It's always frustrated me over the years that there's never an answer given to that. That's a really good question. How many would like to know? Am I really responsible for the other people around me? And the answer to the question is, yes. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. God made us to live our life in him and to need each other, to serve each other, to be generous with each other. We were made for this. And when we're not being generous, we're not fulfilling the purpose of our creation. So you're going, yeah, but I don't know. I could just use a really good excuse right now, why not to be generous. I have 5 crazy good reasons to not be generous. Excuses is probably more accurate than reasons, but excuses, they all start with this. I'd like to, but. Have you ever heard that? I'd like to, but. Okay, the first I like to, but is, I like to, but I can't. How many have ever said that? I have. I like to, but I can't. So why can't you? There's a lot of reasons why you can't. Sometimes you like your stuff more than you like that person. Sometimes, and this is the big one, you haven't built enough margin in your life to actually do something. If that's you right now, there's not enough margin in your life for you to be genuinely generous. Financial Peace University is starting on Tuesday night. The purpose of Financial Peace University is to help you create the margin in your life financially to be generous. They will teach you how to spend less, save more, and be more generous. Is that a pretty good summary of Financial Peace? Financial Peace, and again, I'm not even a Financial Peace, you know, nut. Dave Ramsey says you have to do it all or it doesn't work. I'm a little soft in some of the points. But the bottom line is, Deb and I are more generous than we have ever been able to be. And it doesn't just make you generous at the end. It makes you generous along the way. It gives you the margin to be generous all along the way. So it's really fun for me when you get opportunity to be generous. And the question is, you know, do we want to do something? We've had several opportunities lately to be generous, both financially and then just with our time and energy. And it was just like not even a discussion. There was one family came to us and asked us if we could do something that would be very generous for us to do. And we said, yeah, we already thought about it. And sure, we don't have to talk about it. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to pray about it. We have the margin to do it. So yeah, we would love to do it. So I can't often means I don't have the margin. If you don't have the margin, big question is why. I'd like to, but this might be a scam. I've said that one. Anybody said that one? I hate scammers, right? I want to help people that have real need. Some of us overthink our generosity. Some of us underthink our generosity. I'm trying to, in the next several weeks, and next week will be big on this one, try to get us more in the middle. That we're thinking about it enough to do it well, but not overthinking it so we're getting paralyzed and not doing anything at all. I'd like to, but I've already given. Back in 82. Generosity isn't like a once and done thing. It's an all skate all the time. It's what we do. It's who we are. It is our culture. And if it's not our culture, then you have to say, what's wrong that this is being undermined in me, that I'm not being as generous as I should be? I'd like to, but generosity is not my spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is given to you so you can be generous with it. I didn't just make that up. It's biblical. God gives us all manifestations of His Holy Spirit in our life, not for our good individually, but our good collectively. Your spiritual gift is given to you so you can be generous. So the question is in what ways is God empowered you to be generous? And again, it's not just financial, though that's kind of the point for these first couple weeks. Finally, I've worked hard for my money. I'd like to be generous, but I have worked hard for my money. And quite honestly, poor people are a bad investment. If they were better with their money, they wouldn't be in this circumstance. So I'm going to help them. I'm going to bless them by saying no, so they have to figure it out. Tough love. Or another excuse. Let's look at a verse that maybe turns that around. Proverbs 11. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. We came across that verse when we studied Proverbs recently. Do you know what that's saying? Stop working so hard for your money. Yes, I agree. You're probably working very hard for your money because in your lack of generosity, you are getting no blessing from God to give you more. You're earning it all yourself, and He doesn't want you to. He wants you to be generous so that He can be generous with you. Stop working so hard for your money. What if generosity defines our attitude? And you go, big deal. Who cares? I mean, that can't be a big deal, right? It's just my attitude. What's the number one most important thing you will ever do in your whole life, bar none? The single most important thing you ever do is what? Yeah, give your life to God in Christ. The most important thing you do is choose to give yourself to God, wholly and completely, open-hearted with God. Most important thing. What's the second most important thing? I've always thought it was who you decide to marry. Right? I mean, I've told people that. I was lying. I didn't know I was lying. I was just ignorant. I heard Wayne Cadero say a while back something that changed the way I look at this. He said, the most important decision you make is to follow Christ. The second most important decision you make is the attitude you choose to have as you follow Christ. Your attitude in following Jesus is what sets everything else up for success or failure. Your marriage, for instance. How good a marriage are you going to have? You say, the second most important thing I do is choose my wife, but I have a poopy attitude when it comes to following Jesus. It's a theological term. Look it up. There's a Greek word, I'm sure, for that. There actually is. If I have a bad attitude in following Jesus and I chose the right person to marry, how long is that going to last? And it's going to be all my fault. I chose the right person and yet I treated them that badly. The second most important decision we make in life is the attitude we choose to have in following Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. So those things are never okay. They're never allowed. Selfish ambition or conceit, not okay. But in humility, and here's his definition, count others more significant than yourselves. That's a great definition for humility. Count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. A really good definition for generosity. Don't just look to your own interests. It's okay for you to look out after your own interests. And part of the reason some of us are not any more generous is because we're consumed with looking out after our own interests. It's okay to look out after your own interests, but you should be able to do that and still look out for the interests of others. And then it says in verse 5, have this mind, or in some translations, have this attitude among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So when we find ourselves in Jesus, we are given the mind of Christ. We are given the attitude of Christ. And the attitude we display is the second most important thing we will do with our life as we follow Jesus. And then finally, what if, number four, generosity is the proof. The proof for what? The proof that we actually do belong to God. The proof that we actually have been filled with the Holy Spirit and our lives have been transformed and changed. Every spiritual tradition has their proof. For Pentecostals, the proof that you have received the Holy Spirit is what? It's speaking in tongues. For Methodists, it's your sanctification or your holiness. For the Reform movement, it's that love God and enjoy Him forever. I mean, it's that you glorify God with your life. I mean, we all have the language that we use. What if the actual proof is your generosity? And you said, you're making that up. I would like to make a quick run through the book of Acts and a few other verses just to get some Old Testament in here too. 1 Chronicles 29:14. David is the king. He wants to build the temple. But God says, nope, you've shed too much blood. That will be for your son to do. And David said, well, how about an offering? Can I take an offering? I'd love to take an offering. I want to be a part of this. I want to help. Can I do this? So they take up an offering. And this is what David says. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. David paraphrases saying this. I can't believe this. We took up a simple offering. And David, by the way, went first in this offering. And as he went first and he was generous, the people followed suit. And in the end, they raised so much money. David said, I can't believe it. I can't believe that this group of people, this simple group of Hebrew people, has been able to raise this much money to build a temple for their God. We are overwhelmed. But then we stop and we realize, wait a minute, you gave us all this stuff and we're just giving you some of it back. So it's not even us. I mean, who are we? We're just being generous with your generosity toward us. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus quotes Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So the fact that Jesus is being moved upon by the Holy Spirit, much like Isaiah in the Old Testament, he says, he knows that because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. The only way to be generous with the poor is not with money. Bringing them the good news is an act of great generosity that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of Isaiah and then in Jesus. Luke 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus, the wee little man, was he guy? Okay, Zacchaeus. He stood up and he said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, restore it. I will restore it fourfold. So why did he say that? Because he gave his life to Jesus. And the next thing out of his mouth is, and again, we hear the, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll pay him back four times what I took from him. He's a tax collector. I'm sure there were some shady deals in there somewhere. And everybody's going, yep, he's just paying back what he owes. But we miss the other part. Before he even begins to do that, he says, I will give half of what I own to the poor. Is that a transformed life? Is that a person who is suddenly being moved on by the Spirit of God and generosity is the result? Now, how on earth could he possibly do that? He was so stinking rich that giving away half of his money didn't really matter. I'm in a phase of life right now where this is crystal clear to me. I have helped my parents downsize at least four times. There was a point where they lived in a 4,000 square foot home. And then they downsized to a smaller home. And then a smaller home. And then finally, the one in Naples, half of their possessions were in the garage the whole time they lived in Naples. But they had no place to bring it out and use it. So that, I don't know if that was a downsizing or not. It was just a storage in the garage, which means your car that you paid perfectly good money for is sitting outside in the sun. And finally, they moved in with us. I made a t-shirt. If in doubt, throw it out. Just kidding, but you get the point. I did make the t-shirt. I was, give it to Goodwill. I'm not saying just throw it out. Okay. And then mom, a few years ago, decided to go to a care facility, a place where she just had a single efficiency apartment. And then she downsized again. And now she's to the point where she'd give all that away if she could. You don't get to take any of it with you. You just downsize, you downsize, you downsize. You spend the first half of your life building up, the second half of your life giving it all away. That's the way that works. Zacchaeus could afford to give away. He had a lot of margin. Dave Ramsey wants you to have a lot of margin. That's all he's trying to do with financial peace. Acts 2:44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. You know this verse? It's talking about the early church and the dynamic that they had that was so impressive. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Well, of course, who doesn't want to go to the church where they keep giving their stuff away? I mean, I heard there's a church in Orlando that gives away free gift cards. If you just come to church, somebody will hand you a gift card. I'm thinking next week we'll have twice as many people here. And it's not just because this is a holiday weekend. Well, maybe it is. Okay. But in the end, what was the dynamic that made them so attractive? They were genuinely generous. Now, next week's text will talk about how you can give more than you can give. And you say, how is that even possible? You will need to come next week and find out. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. So he's this really cool Italian dude, right? Right. I don't know what a cohort is, but it sounds cool. Okay. And a devout man who feared God with all of his household. Now, how did they know that this Italian guy loved God? How did they know? It says this. He gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed continually to God. Now, for most of us, when we read that, oh, yeah, he prayed. That's how we knew he was spiritual, because he prayed. He's a man that loves God because he prays. It's only half the story. Half of the indication that this is a man who truly loves God is that he is generous. Acts 16:15. And after she, this is talking about Lydia, the woman who made purple clothes, which was cool, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed on us. This is a lady who came to Jesus, who was very wealthy. And at the moment that she became a believer and she was baptized, the next thing out of her mouth is, if you really do believe that I am a true believer because you just baptized me, that means you have to let me be generous with you. Those are the rules. Come to my house, let me be generous. And they did. Acts 16, they all get, again, later in the chapter, they all get thrown into jail. They're singing songs, having a little worship service in jail. God says, here, let me give you an earthquake. And the earthquake is so bad that the doors burst open and the chains fall off them. Now, I'm figuring it's like little micro vibrations. What is it that makes chains fall off of you? But anyway, they're all sitting there completely liberated and free in the dark post-earthquake. Then he, this is the Philippian jailer, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. Now, prior to them having this little chat with this dude, he was going to fall on his own sword. He was going to commit suicide to keep from being killed by the Romans, who would have been much less nice about it. So his life is over. So at the point that they're all still there, I mean, obvious question. So what do I need to do to be saved? You guys obviously have something going for you. So they tell him that he needs to accept Jesus. In verse 33, it goes on, and he took them to the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, which means he's a believer, and he and all of his family, and he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So what's true? They're still there because they're believers, and they're not going to do anything to harm this guy. Okay, so they're showing generosity to him. He is so overwhelmed by that. He says, what do you have that I need? And they said, Jesus. And he says, got it. I'll take that. And so they baptized him. And then immediately, he starts doing what he's not supposed to do. He starts taking care of their wounds. And then he takes them out on a field trip home, feeds them, and is generous with them. Again, that would get you killed by the Romans. I'm just saying. Generosity is what happens when people are filled with the Spirit of God. So one of the things we're going to figure out as we move forward, if you're not as generous as you'd like to be, what's getting in the way of the Holy Spirit being active in your life? If you are a follower of Jesus, he gives you his Spirit. Just don't be quenching it. Because if you're quenching it, you're messing with your own generosity. So, in conclusion, what if Jesus is right? What if we were made to give? What if generosity defines who we are and defines our attitude in life? And what if generosity is the proof that we have received the Spirit of God in our life? What if? Because Jesus is right. We were made to be generous. It will define who we are. It will define our attitude. And it will be the proof that we belong to him. People will come to Jesus over the next 2 months because we're being generous. It's the way it works. So next week, to give or not to give? That is the question. I know it kind of sounds like Shakespeare, but I made that up all by myself. But that's, next week we're just going to look at one text. But in looking at the one text, it's actually going to surface five more questions to ask yourself. Because it's always the question we ask. Well, okay, I am a generous person. Yes, I am signing up to be generous. But how do I know when to give and not to give? How do I know? Being generous doesn't mean you have the margin to give in every situation, every time. So how do I know when to give or not to give? That really is the question. And if you know me at all, I love to answer a question with a question. So next week, we'll look at five questions that if you answer those questions, you'll know if it's time to give or not. So let's all stand for prayer. Lord God, so much to be learned in so little time. A lot of people in the world think it's crazy that we would be so generous. And the reality is it's crazy to think we're poor when we're really rich. It's crazy to think we're kind of generous when we're really not. It's crazy to spend everything that comes to us and sometimes even more and finding ourselves where we have no margin at all. And what's really not crazy is building margin into our life so that we can love you well and we can love our families well and we can love the people in our life well and we can even love people in Texas who we may never meet well because we have that margin. So Lord God, I just pray that for all of us in the next few months here that you will move in our hearts and lives, show us what we need to see. Show us that this isn't crazy. This is the way we were made to live, to be people of great generosity and all to your glory. We love you and we bless you. We thank you that on the cross, Jesus was generous with us. More generous than we even know. And as we remember now the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us, Lord God, we want to celebrate your generosity to us. And if there's anything in our heart that's caused a hardness that's holding you back, Lord God, we pray that you would search our hearts, search our attitudes, search our thinking. Restore to us the joy of our salvation and the generosity that just follows. For anyone here, Lord God, that doesn't know you, that's never stepped in, they've heard several stories today of those in that first generation of believers that they believed in you and their life changed immediately. Lord God, move in our hearts and lives. May we all know you. May we all be hearts wide open to you. And then may we be amazed as your generosity flows through us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.